Drinking this album. Listen to the booze. I think it would pair well, if only for you. Cause it's album or booze. It's album or booze.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Album or Brews, the stickiest music podcast. That's right, we never change. We are still the stickiest, and we are still talking about music. I am also still your co-host. My name is Sarah.
I did a pod for you and all the things you do.
Wow.
And it wasn't yellow because you can't see a podcast, but it was called Album or Brews. My name's Zach.
That's beautiful.
Thanks.
Wow. Those were good. My name's Quinn, and I hope there's no spies around because we're going to be talking about a forbidden band.
Confidential government information.
Coldplay.
Well, I'm, panicking a bit here, but I was told don't panic. I'm Austin.
Welcome. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Don't panic seems more like it should be like a 2000s like pop song than it does a Coldplay song.
Yeah, definitely.
By who?
Like it should be a little more angsty.
Olivia Rodrigo. I don't know. Wow. That's not 2000s. Who was popular in 2000s?
Britney.
Mm-hmm. I can see Brittany.
Well, thank you guys for coming on the show. We're super excited to have you. Well, fun fact, we actually share a rehearsal space, one of my bands, in Big Weather. And so when Austin reached out, I was like, yeah, you can come on the show.
We're roommates.
Yeah.
It was so funny. I was like excited, like, guys, I don't know if you ever like checked this bulletin board here, but there is this really cool podcast. This looks fun. Should I do it? And then Wynn was like, yeah, that's like my band. Like, even I was like, oh yeah, cool.
Sweet. So Big Weather is an alt country act. This is not an alt country album we're talking about today, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was a conscious decision.
Yeah. But I think like similarly, while it's an alt country album, and obviously it's changing since, Quinn and I met and he joined the band, like, it's really like also a bedroom pop kind of thing. Like when I started making music, I was listening to like Wild Nothing and like some of those like, drum machine and a laptop, like kind of dreamier, whisperier kind of vocals. And I don't think the music's like lost that. I kind of started doing the country thing, but that was the newer part of the sound. I have older music that, some of which I've shown you guys and some I haven't, that's more like truly like dream pop kind of like, softer. This is soft too, but like, just softer, like kind of, I don't know, like the type of music that like people would pick on you for at Fortnite. Now everybody like they're like double bass pedals, like playing this like really cool, like fun music. And then, we've got this kind of like soft, like Coldplay little band. It doesn't necessarily sound like that, but in spirit, it's maybe a little closer to that.
They're like, oh, you like Claro? That's so interesting. Yeah.
So real fast, so the folks at home can know, if you want to go check them out on Instagram, it's The Big Weather at Instagram. And then you can go check out an EP of theirs, Square Dancing. And I love that it's dancing, not dancing.
Yeah, I was back and forth on that, but it's what it is.
It's fun.
Yeah. And then real quick, tell us how you two met.
It's a funny story. I mean, this is cute. We're like a couple. Do you want to tell it or should I? Like, we should learn our like origin story, like, and learn to do the little like
right,
dance.
Go back and forth.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah,
in a cute way. So we,
Austin
and Quinn, met at
Carol's. It's a country bar where a secret
show for Wilco was happening.
I remember almost going to this. Is this the one that was like not too long ago?
When was it?
Maybe it was close to a year ago now.
I was going to say, it was 2021.
Yeah, because I think it was in the fall.
Right.
Wasn't it?
I'm thinking because the band started recently that it was as recent as this year, but it was last year that we met.
Yeah, because we didn't jump right into playing together, I don't think. Yeah. Which, we were strangers up until that moment, honestly. Right. But yeah, we just ran into each other in line. It was very much like a last minute, like secret show kind of vibe where like, we were both a little too late probably to seeing like the Facebook or Instagram posts or whatever where they said they'd be giving away like tickets to a free show. So then, the whole city or, every Wilco fan in the city, of which there are obviously a lot.
So the whole
like,
city.
Rushed there.
Yeah. And line around the block, like news coverage and
line
stuff
around
there.
Like many blocks.
Yeah.
It was
like
a 6-block deep line, I think, by the time I got in.
Carol's is not a big pub.
Right. It was really cool. So, and then, we kind of became line mates, got to know the people around each other.
We've never talked about this, but we were standing next to some pretty interesting folks too. There was this one girl who had a bike. Do you remember her?
Yeah.
And she kept like riding up to the front of the line and like at like badgering the line person, like the security people.
Yeah.
Like, do you think
about that.
Where do you think we're all the way back here, three blocks down. Do you think we're gonna get in? She'd come back all pissed.
Oh man.
It was a really fun day.
It was kind of nice having her though, because it's like we all wanted to know that, but no one wanted to be like, you know, that guy to be like, yeah, let's ask the door person because I'm sure they know how many people Carols can fit. I'm sure they do this all the time. Like, yeah. I'm sure they have secret shows of massive bands at Carol's all the time. I'm sure they'll know exactly how many people.
It really was kind of, it sucked, but it was like fun. Like they were telling us that, we're going to run out of space. Like while we were like really far away, but then we kept getting news like, oh, they're adding a second show. Mm. So they added a second show. So we stayed in line for another like 50 minutes. And then we're like, we're still not going to make it. Then they added a third show. Mm-hmm. So we stayed in line. And I think we got like 20 people deep, like away from the door
we
or something.
We were pretty close by the end. Like, I really thought we might have a chance to get in. But, you know, it's what it is. It was obviously, I think later that night was the show, right?
Yeah.
This was like, so that was like a funny vibe too. It was like, everybody's like, you know, in their pajamas or like, yeah, someone had a bike. Like my girlfriend and I were like in the car with her dog. So we were like holding her in our arms. Like everybody just kind of dropped whatever they were doing. Yeah. And we're like, oh shit, let's see if we can get these tickets.
Yeah.
So it was a really funny vibe. Just like a lot of like interesting outfits and like, you know, a lot of people who were just out like running errands. And then we're like, oh shit, like, you know, let me try to hop in this line. This is now the theme of my day.
Yeah. So, I remember seeing it and really I was like, funny. What plans can I cancel to go hang out at this pub at like 2 p.m.? And I couldn't cancel any of them.
My girlfriend had this recital that night that I was going to go to, and she found the Facebook post and sent it to me, but she waited because she still wanted me to go to her recital.
Oh.
So she was like, she didn't want to tell me that they were there like five blocks from my house or whatever.
And if she didn't, Big Weather would never exist in the way it does.
If she didn't tell me right then, I would have made it into the show, but I wouldn't have met Austin.
Yeah, that's really crazy to think. That's true. Cause you're right around that area. I am not,
Thanks, Wilco.
Worked out. Yeah, thanks, Wilco.
Stars aligned.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wilco, this band we're not talking about is not Wilco. Will you guys tell us about the album and the drink pairing we're going to get into today?
Yeah. So the drink, from what I understand, we're doing flights because it's like parachutes. Flight themes.
Yeah.
Sky.
Yeah.
Which is the album. Sorry. We're doing Parachutes.
We're doing
Coldplay.
Parachutes by Coldplay.
They read it in the
title.
Yeah.
That's true. If you're listening by this point, you probably like this album or at least, you know, are curious.
Yeah. Would someone like to describe our table situation, what it looks like right now?
It looks like, you know, one of those scenes of like all the stormtroopers like lined up in the Death Star.
Yeah.
Like you got like just rows of flights, you know, we're rocking with like 16 pretty big flight glasses.
Yeah.
This will be a good way to get to know each other. And then we've got, you know, just the variety pack Lagunitas, which I don't know, my beer knowledge might be wrong, but I think Lagunitas is based originally in California, but then also in Chicago. So I thought that might be cool because Quinn here is from California. I grew up in, you know, the Chicago suburbs and stuff. So it seemed like the move. Oh,
there is a little more tie-in.
Yeah, I thought
so.
Yeah.
I thought it was because we were talking about Coldplay and these are cold beers.
Yeah, that's true. That's why once you get the flight thing out of the way, that's another good connection. Yeah, there you go.
That's a real reach.
It would be a really funny spoiler if they were just warm beers. And we're like,
they're
20 minutes
warmer,
into like an hour podcast.
Cracking
and
all,
it's and I brought warm beers. I'd be like,
Well, so, that's when we talk about warm play.
Warm play.
Yeah,
warm play. Yeah. It's a great cover band idea. Okay, so here is each of the beers in the flight. Is the Lagunitas Hazy Wonder. These are all IPAs. I hope you guys like IPAs. The Island Beats Tropical IPA. Just their straight up IPA. Mm-hmm. This one's a classic. Me and Sarah know her very well. This is a little something something.
A little something something.
I love little something something.
Love a little something something.
That's a classic.
How about we like go down the paddle and do a quick first sip of everyone?
Oh, okay.
Let's try and first take a sip, because we know her and we love her, of a little something something.
Mm. This is a classic.
Cheers. Very fitting, though, because this perfect. Is Parachutes, and I already feel like I need to, like, abort the flight idea and jump out of the plane because I've already fucked this up. No,
the beauty of podcasting is that'll be, like, a 10-second ordeal for the listener.
No, right. Yeah. It's going to be so condensed. Yeah. This is so fun, though. That's like, classic. We've never done this on the show.
This yeah. is cool, yeah. I'm glad you guys rolled with this idea, and thanks for picking up the flights and stuff. Like, yeah, I hope this... will be the first of many to, yeah. to go yep. this route.
I'm immediately yeah. thinking, if anyone wants to come on and do a wine flight, hi. That's a great idea. 'Cause I'm a wine girl more than I am a beer girl. Go.
I don't really taste the wheat in the little something. It's a wheat IPA.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting the hop, hop, hop.
Yeah.
Hop, mm-hmm. hop, hop. Like, it's such a drinkable always, IPA.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not always like a huge IPA person, but a little something, something, like, I feel like maybe the wheat, and it just like cuts the bitterness of yeah. it, so it just doesn't feel as much like an IPA.
It doesn't feel so stinky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get any like discernible aftertaste kind of notes?
I would say often when I drink an IPA, I get kind of a cannabis note.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah,
I know that's definitely
but not a good cannabis like... note.
No, yeah, like kind of skunky.
It's
skunky
the, weed. Yeah.
Yeah. Or sometimes like kind of citrusy.
Yeah, yeah. I think this but, next
like,
one.
But like citrus peel.
This next one we're trying, the Hazy Wonder, is a little more citrusy.
Okay, Hazy Wonder.
All right, here we
Cheers.
Go.
Cheers. Cheers. This one's like super light.
Yeah.
This is a light beer.
Oh, man.
I love a hazy.
This is good.
I like a fruity guy.
I'm picturing like a blind taste test of these beers, and I don't think I could discern the difference at all.
Yeah. No.
We need a good palate cleanser.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like every time I see a hazy IPA, like on a menu, they're like, it's got lemon or orange.
Yeah, so that was thinking.
Something
yeah.
like
yeah.
that.
I was going to be more
I don't know if that's like the qualifier.
And it looks like that. But to me, I'm not tasting like a...
Yeah, I wish that. It was more
this
citrusy.
Tastes more like a... Yeah, just like a light beer, like an mm-hmm. ale.
I'm not going to lie. That tastes mad similar to the first yeah, one. Yeah,
it really does. It really does.
We're on to you, like Lagunitas.
It's possible that we just mispoured, though.
That's cause, true. Because
like, that's totally normal and acceptable if you did that in your flight, from what I've heard.
Yeah, no. That's like, if yeah. you go to a brewery, like... They could totally like not pour what you asked for.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
how
Sometimes
would you know?
You get two of the same beer in a flight and that's okay.
That's
part
totally
of the experience.
Totally cool. So we have a plethora of the island. Shall we do that next?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one not brewed in the tropics. That's false advertising.
Oh.
Less stinky, more mm-hmm. bright. The aftertaste is where I get like a little like pineapple or a little yeah. something. Yeah.
This feels like an IPA that my mom would like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I would drink this like on
yeah.
boat.
I'm glad I poured three of these. This
yeah.
one's my favorite so far.
Yeah. This is gorgeous.
I should have got a variety pack that wasn't just IPAs. That's my bad.
No, yeah, this is
like
fun.
The IPA-ness of this one is very IPA-y. Yeah.
If we ever have like an actual beer expert listen to our show, they're going to be like, these
Lagunitas. So that Lagunitas is like throwing their flights.
Oh my God.
Lagunitas is going to like Lagunitas is going to send you guys like a cease and desist. Yeah.
Or a PR package.
Or a right. PR package. Or free beer. Yeah. We have gotten free beer before.
That'd be sweet.
Okay, last one.
The OG.
Is the dark. The dark, dark girl. So maybe this is what you were missing.
Yeah.
But I have this can right here.
So is this the Lagunitas IPA?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh. Like that one's like pokier. Kinda, that yeah. one, that kind of.
My least favorite, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I like it.
It's of course a little something something's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I remember them saying I've done the like Lagunitas tour here, and I remember the guy that led our tour was like the Lagunitas IPA is so like ahead of the IPA trend that like if you tried it compared to any other IPA, you'd be like, this is not an IPA. Like because the things have gotten so much more like bitter, and that's become more the focus of like breweries and stuff that they're like, it's not even like anywhere near like our strongest yeah. IPA anymore. It's just like kind of the original.
It's just so, like an IPA.
Yeah. When I think of Lagunitas, I also think of their like, I feel like they do a really good non-alcoholic assortment.
Ooh,
like they have
cool.
their IPNA and it exists. And I bought it like during a dry January or whatever.
Yeah. If you're gonna drink a dry beer, you should probably drink an IPA.
Yeah.
Just like get the beeriest taste.
Or their hop water is so good. Also Lagunitas. That's more like if lemon beer was a LaCroix. But it's good.
I do like hop water.
It's
Those
good.
Are good.
Yeah.
So IPA is India Pale Ale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Will you tell the story about IPA?
I think I have this right, but an IPA it's actually fitting that we've got like a British band,
yeah,
like Coldplay and stuff. A lot of tie-ins we're kind of stumbling into along the way.
Yeah.
But the IPA was a beer that, from my understanding, they overhopped to preserve when the British were colonizing India. And my history is not good. I don't know what era that would have been, but in the, I assume the early, or at least like the, you know, kind of prime stages of that colony, in order to get beer over from England, you had to add more hops to it, I think, right? In order to like preserve it and make sure that it didn't go bad.
From England all the way to India.
Yeah. So
it was like salt curing.
Yeah. So shout out Mike Connolly, my dad, for not only suggesting the flight idea, but teaching me that little like tidbit. Because now I think it's funny when people like triple hop beers. I'm like, this tastes terrible. And like the point of the IPA, like, was never for like taste. It was just to like preserve beer so that
convenience,
you can like,
yeah.
So
you could ship it to India.
You get a little buzzed after work when you're over in India, you know, being a horrible person.
Love that.
Yeah, colonizing. So not a great history, but an interesting one.
Yeah.
I promise we'll stay out of British colonies for this podcast.
So, similar kind of story with cheese, right? Like,
yeah.
Not really. They didn't purposefully preserve it. I guess it was the opposite, right? Like, it's bad milk.
Right, yeah, and it's almost like dry aged.
Do you know the origins of cheese?
No.
We're not a cheese podcast, but I'll tell you a little bit about it.
Oh, can we start a
spinoff cheese podcast? You'd probably have like two members.
Album or Breeze.
Oh, that's
please,
really good.
Please.
Wow, that was so effortless. So wow, that's really good. Should definitely do that.
So they think that some of the first cheese invented was by accident when shepherds would, they would carry a sheep's stomach for water and milk. And so if you left the milk in the sheep's stomach as like their, you know, like their drinking pouch there, the enzymes from the stomach would interact with the milk in a way that would turn it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know about cheese making.
Wow. So they think that's the origins of cheese, that the shepherds just found out that like it, if you left it in there on accident by long enough, that it tasted good. It was kind of like a...
That's wild.
That's nice.
So disgusting.
Someone was like, let me put this on some crackers.
No, yeah. If you think... I feel like cheese, like beer, like if you think about it for too long, you're like, I don't like that anymore.
Yeah. It's crazy how times have changed. Like these days, like, you know, if you don't have a bed frame, you're like, you know, scum to society. Imagine being like, yeah, just like have a lot of rotting things around.
Yeah.
And like I try them from time to time and they're good. It's like you would just be shunned by society.
Like I just ate this old milk in my sheep stomach.
In your water bottle.
Super chill.
Yeah, I leave milk in my water bottle. People tell me to move to the next train.
They say, ew, stinky.
Exactly.
But if you do it in 1300s Europe,
you're the inventor of cheese.
Yeah. You're an innovator. It's like, jeez.
Anywho, let's talk about something else stinky, which is the Spotify algorithm.
Oh, sure.
I was looking at this record and I was like, wow, there's like billions of plays on some of these songs.
Yeah.
Yellow humongous. In particular is insane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, worthy of it, I think, because it's a great album.
Yeah, it's a great song, yeah.
But I wanted to shine some light, since we're shining a light on a billions of plays, I wanted to shine light on zero plays.
Okay.
Are you guys
familiar? Right, the recent change in the Spotify's...
they just did another thing, yeah, right?
They just, like, changed how their royalties are getting paid out. Yeah. It's like, if you don't get above X threshold of streams, you just... No money.
Yeah.
Are you guys familiar with this application, Forgetify?
No.
No.
This is a fun little algorithm that will, because there is like something like 60,000 plus songs on Spotify a day that get uploaded.
Wow.
And so this is an application that finds songs that have never had one play on Spotify.
So we're going to be their first play?
So sick. It'll play you an unplayed song.
That's so sick.
That is so sick.
And here's the game I've invented for it. I've called it Describify.
Okay.
Oh.
And I am going to give you guys the song name.
Uh-huh.
Who's this by? I'm going to describe the artwork real fast.
Okay.
And then you guys can, all against each other, must guess something you think you're going to hear in the first 10 seconds.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds great.
Okay.
Zach, this is a good game.
This is cool.
Zach came into my apartment earlier.
I hope some artist blows up from this too. Like,
for real.
Sick. Like,
you came over and you were like, I have my shit on lock today. Nice. And you were right.
This is great
too. This is really fun.
I've listened to a few of these podcasts now and like I'm like gets to the game part, and I'm like, oh god, that's what I'm most nervous for. Like, I don't think you can like lose this game. So that's
no.
Yeah.
Winner gets a listen on their Spotify account from me.
Awesome.
Six. Oh, God. I was, oh, no. Oh, shit. Oh, zero plays for us. Ouch. Wow.
I was just listening to Ashland on the EP Square Dancing, which you should go check out right after this episode.
Yeah, please do. Please.
That
do.
One's already got some streams.
We're in
though.
That weird spot where we got too many streams to be in podcast game show segments, but you know, not enough to make any money, so we're caught in that terrible,
super cute purgatory.
Yeah, the terrible middle ground.
All right, to figure out who's gonna go first, I'm thinking of a Beatles song. Whoever can guess it correctly will go first.
Yellow Submarine.
That's what I was gonna say.
I'm gonna go with Something by the Beatles.
I'm gonna say Yellow Submarine.
You guys are all wrong. It's Then and Now, the brand new AI enhanced Beatles song. But I think Quinn was closest, but okay. By some arbitrary measure.
Real quick. So it's like AI backed restoration technology or something.
What? I guess so. I didn't look it up.
Okay. Because I don't like it. I don't like the
thought. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you can be as descriptive or vague if you'd like. Cool. You get the point if it's in the track. The first 10 seconds of it. So this first track is called Bonjour, Métier Médecine, that I probably butchered, by John Locke Medir. And the album cover is, it's like water paint maybe, but it's a lot of people dancing, and they're maybe in like, not cowboy getup, but like old-timey getup, dresses and jackets and...
Oh.
Okay.
Starting at Quinn, go on the round circle.
All right. I think we're going to hear... I think we're going to hear something, an instrument outside of the typical guitar, bass, drum, rock format. I don't know what it is. I'm going to guess like a lap steel or pedal steel guitar.
Some folk instrumentation.
Just because you said cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right, Austin.
I'm going maybe more off the title, but I think the opposite, honestly. I think we might be hearing some like acoustic guitar off riff, maybe like a little like kind of similar to the getup you've got going with like some like nylon strings or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Sarah?
This feels very French. I'm thinking like, I think this is going to give us the energy of like sitting outside in the street and like sipping a cappuccino.
Oh, that's so vague. I love it.
Thank you.
I'm going to give points to Austin and Quinn.
Yeah, no, that did not give me cappuccino.
Because there was nylon guitar.
There's also like a mandolin or something.
There's also like a mandolin and some weird like block percussion that I would consider outside of like the...
Yeah.
Right. Cool. Congratulations on your first stream.
And what a moment that was. For the first time ever on Spotify history, that was Bonjour, Métier Médecine.
Actually sounded pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
This next one is called Follow Me, in parentheses, Camelot, by Claire Moore. This is a great album artwork. So it looks like a pencil-drawn bird person with glasses on, and their hands are up in the air, but coming out of, like, clouds, and their hands are puppeteering the name of the album, An Evening with Alan J. Lerner.
That's wild.
You would have thought I made that up, but that's what it looks like.
Okay.
We'll go reverse order now, so Sarah first.
Okay. This sounds like, based on what I've heard, it's like from someone's like one-man show. So I think we're going to get kind of cabaret vibes.
Okay. Oh. All right, Austin.
I feel like, similarly, it might be like someone's solo project, but like the puppeteer, like... thing, maybe I'm just thinking like Master of Puppets, like Metallica kind of thing too much. But I think it's gonna have like that like metal sound where like somebody like tried to program like metal drums like on like, an actual. So I think it's gonna have like some like kind of shitty but cool like you know, heavy metal kind of drums, but like not played by an actual drum.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, that's a good guess.
I don't know.
I'm thinking like like Renaissance fair,
yeah,
like RuneScape music, like really old English type instrumentation.
All right, let's find out. I'm so excited because this is so weird. Yeah.
Work.
Yeah. Really, really nice.
Not at all that I expected.
Wow.
I think that's kind of a one man show. I'll give the point to Sarah.
That feels theatrical. Yeah.
And okay. Also very RuneScape-y, I think. Yeah. Like the strings was very like. I wish I remembered the name of the songs from RuneScape, but it's very like you're fishing in the river.
Yep. You know, I always say that opera is my one genre that I don't like, but I was kind of fucking with that.
Yeah, that was sick.
That
was nice. I agree.
Yeah. It'll be on the playlist. Link in the description.
See?
This song is called These Foolish Things by Harry Babison. The album artwork is, I'm assuming, Harry. A very jolly looking guy in his mid-40s, maybe. He's got some very thin wired glasses on, holding an upright bass. He's wearing a watch.
Okay.
Quinn first.
Certainly jazz, like tradition, like jazz quartet with like an upright bass.
Sure, yeah, stuff. Yeah.
That covers like an entire genre. So what am I left with here? Let's see. I feel like there'll be no vocals in the beginning of this song.
Yeah.
That's a cheap, you know, generic enough way to get around it and get a point here.
I think specifically, because I also feel very jazz, I think specifically we're going to hear like when people play the drums with like a brush.
Let's find out.
We're all right.
Wow, there is the drum brush there.
Hell yeah. We nailed it. That's a great quote.
We're all right.
Yeah.
Harry Babison, this sounds great.
I'm all about this.
This is fine. That's a, like a xylophone solo.
Yeah.
One of you guys could have said xylophone solo.
If you called xylophone lead, you would have got like 4 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have kissed you on the mouth.
That was awesome. Wow.
Nice.
All right. This next song is called Serenity by Vivian Cahore. The album artwork is like it's a picture of a lake with like dark trees in the background, and there's an effect on the moon in the sky that kind of looks like you took the picture like through raindrops. Very beautiful.
Okay, I have very strong feelings about this.
Okay, let's hear it.
I think this is gonna be like if you ever went to the Hallmark store when you were a kid, and you remember they had those big machines where you could press buttons and like hear previews from different CDs. And there were always a couple that were kind of like meditative spa music. Okay. I think it's going to give very that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like we're going to hear some woodwinds. We're going to hear something like that.
I've low key been thinking about like making spa music because it gets played at spas for royalties.
Yes.
Like if you just had a spa music song that like got a ton of plays, you could make like 8 cents a week.
Yoga studios too. I go to yoga class and I know they're just putting on a playlist called like chill.
And
chill,
they've got to play like a blanket license to ASCAP and BMI, right?
Work.
Wow. Yeah.
That's how you rake in the big bucks.
All right, awesome. It's all you. What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe I'm bound to hit on this idea at some point, but I think it's going to be very like, you know, that one song, like Wake Me Up or whatever. Like, I think it's going to have that kind
of
like
that was my first
to
thought too when I saw everything. I was like, is this going to be like a 2000s that, like girl rock song?
Yeah, that validates. So, yeah, maybe it's going to be what like a kind of like alternative metal like kind of genre maybe. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I got to be right at some point with that kind of guess.
No, I'm thinking like acoustic sad girl type
of vibe. Okay. Very serene.
I think it might be just a piano ballad, which I think is going to give the point to Sarah, because you would hear this on a little scan your CD.
You certainly could.
Yeah, that's definitely closest for sure.
It was, it could, it's almost Evanescence.
I was going to say if like there was a big drop and like some drums came in or something.
I
was like kind of crossing my
symphonic
fingers.
Symphonic
like,
with the piano, that's Evanescence for sure.
As much as I want to keep playing this game for like ever, this is a spinoff podcast.
No, like we need to play this every episode.
You guys are starting a podcast.
This is so fun.
Here.
Yeah, we're trying.
Album Reprise, that's really clever.
Oh my God.
All right, here's our last one.
Okay.
This is called... Actually, no, I'm going to find a funnier name.
That one wasn't funny enough.
What if that was like the best song I've ever heard?
Sorry, so they're just not going to get their first play ever.
Wow, I'm God in this.
Can you read their title so if someone else wants to listen to it?
It's gone forever.
I'll have to skip through all the other 60,000.
Oh,
yeah.
You can.
All right, this song is called I'm Your Boogeyman.
Nice.
Oh.
By Aristocrat. The album artwork is a woman, and it is framed so it's the top of her nose to her mid-chest. She's wearing red lipstick, long dark hair.
I think it's going to be like a punk sort of palette. Yeah, that's about it.
Sure.
Punk rock.
I think it's going to be like disco. Like, oh, it kind of gives me
your
like,
boogeyman.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to have like chic like vibes. Like, you know that like band Chic? They do like Le Freak. Like, you know,
yeah.
I think it's going to have like that kind of vibe. A lot of the album artwork for that kind of stuff is more like, you know, kind of just attractive people like on the cover kind of vibes. So I'm going to go with that. Yeah.
I was thinking like Louis Armstrong jazz vibes.
Let's find out. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give a little to Austin for it being kind of funky.
It's got the wall.
Yeah.
The guitar was a little funky.
Yeah, the guitar
was
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was also a little punk rocky. What did you say, Sarah?
Louis Armstrong jazz. I am very not.
Hold on, let
money.
Me listen to how they say boogeyman. Do they say it like Louis Armstrong?
Boogeyman.
That's Louis right there. Yeah.
Are you going to give me a point for that?
I can't do a good Louis. Can anyone do a
threesome Louis? Right there. They used AI to create a Louis Armstrong style vocal for that one.
Yeah.
So I think you got it, Sarah. You
know. Sure. Hey, I'll take whatever you're throwing my way.
That's a unique song. I am saving it, and I'm adding it to my favorites.
Yeah.
It's a good for a Halloween playlist.
Yeah.
The first thought that came to my head, I think there's a song in Nightmare Before Christmas that's like, I'm your boogeyman. Wow.
I wonder if it's a cover.
Yeah.
I don't know who won. You all did for helping.
there was no school
keeping. Helping us get some plays on these Forgetified, Spotified. Describified tracks.
Do we win royalties if this podcast takes off that you guys are going to spin off? Like, can I have your friends?
If Album Breeze takes off. You both can have like an associate 2%. Producer credit.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You guys that definitely works. Get royalties on Describify, that spinoff podcast when it comes out.
Definitely. Yeah, nice. And Zach, you're going to be streaming both Big Weather and Album Breeze. Just double checking.
On Forgetify.
Just, you said you would stream whoever won.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess I'll have to stream both of them again.
Awesome. The podcast that you record.
Yeah.
Because I don't have anything else on Spotify. Nice.
Let's take five.
Yeah.
And wait for our beers to get colder.
Gorgeous.
I don't want to wait
for the beer to get colder.
All right, we're back, folks, talking about Coldplay on a cold day.
Oh.
Yeah, it's fall time.
It is fall time.
Before we get too far into the track list, tell us a little more history about this record with you guys and maybe how it influences you, you know, why you picked it out of all the plethora of other influences and artists you like.
I think we, the way that we got to picking it was just like, we really didn't want to pick Wilco, I think, because it seemed kind of on the nose.
Yeah, we have that long story on Wilco anyway, so we didn't want to get, like, I'm filing a restraining order against us. Right, calm down.
Like. I mean, I would be honored if Jeff J.D. was like,
honestly,
don't
at least he would, at least he would notice me, yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Well, for me, like, this record is kind of like, it's one, I think Coldplay is kind of one of those bands, I think, that's sort of lumped in with like Nickelbacks and stuff of the world where people just say that they're bad.
Mm-hmm. What did and you say, Sarah, earlier?
Well, I said that, and I don't mean this as a pejorative, but Coldplay does make me think of my mom.
And what it was Maroon 5.
It makes me feel very U2, Maroon 5, which I don't think are inherently bad, but there is kind of a like maybe in the scenes that we run in, like, it's mainstream, so it's bad.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, sure, that's, yeah, sort of, I think we had that conversation, yeah, and like, I think that way about Coldplay for the most part, but I can't help but love this album so, yeah, much, you know, like, for, there's a ton of nostalgia for it, for me, it reminds me of my mom too, but like,
yeah,
it's just, I think, honestly, I think it's, and I think they've admitted to this, it's sort of their, they use the sort of like OK Computer by Radiohead, mm-hmm, sound palette, but just make songs that are like, oh, don't be anxious. Don't be like, everything's all right. Everything's not lost.
Uh-huh.
And love is like good and all this kind of stuff. And it's like such a positive, sweet vibe, mm-hmm, that I really love. So.
Yeah, yeah, it is kind of like a big warm blanket of the guitar, yeah, players, like
very Winnie, cozy.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I agree. I could go on and on, but I mean, that's like kind of the gist of it. Is like, I definitely feel like coming up playing in bands and stuff, it was like, it was cool to like Radiohead. It was not cool to like Coldplay, even, yeah, though early Coldplay sounded so much like Radiohead that it was like absurd. Like sound palette wise, I mean, yeah, you could be like, oh, that's a shame they're ripping it off, but it's like, aren't we then like going and trying to make Radiohead songs? So then if we were really successful, would people hate us too? It's,
yeah,
like, that, so I sort of like it as a debut album, and I found it oddly kind of inspiring that it's like, and I like that they own that too. Like there's a, yeah, lot of bands, like, not to pick on, you know, any in particular, but like that band, like Greta Van Fleet, where like they dress like Led Zeppelin, yeah, they have the exact, yeah, same drum set.
Oh, we shit on Greta Van Fleet a lot on the show. It,
yeah,
welcome.
And it's like, and that's actually fine. The part where they go wrong is that they deny that influence. I think, yeah, it's okay to like accept your influences. Like, you know, sure, we're obviously very influenced by like Wilco and stuff. Like we talk about them a lot. It would be absurd to like be influenced by a band and then like deny it and stuff. So I think it's sort of this admittance of like, we're not cool. We're not experienced. We didn't just like come out of nowhere. Like we have this, you know, these influences and stuff, and we haven't found our sound yet. It's the sound of a band like trying to sort of find more of their sound. And you could argue they never really did, like some in some, you know, case, but I don't know. And I agree, like Coldplay like reminds you of your family and stuff. Like even that like album cover, like I think we had like a globe in my living room and stuff. Yeah. And like, I remember I used to just sit on the front porch of our house and like watch the rain and stuff like that. And this album feels very much like, you know, sitting, you know, in your parents' house and watching the rain and stuff like that. It's very nostalgic for me personally. I picked up the album at like a thrift store. I think I was with my mom at the time. And for like $2, I only knew like Yellow because they played it on XRT and stuff here,
yeah,
growing up.
Yeah.
And then I listened to the rest and I was like, this is a really beautiful album. Mm-hmm. Like Coldplay, you know, gets a lot of shit for being like successful. And I guess that's like the thing is like, I grew up with a lot of music that my parents introduced me to. Some that's deemed like kind of cool in the band circle, you know, my mom, like The Cure and The Smiths and like some of those bands that are like cool to like, and mm-hmm, she even liked Radiohead. But I think, yeah, you mentioned like U2, my dad had like every U2 CD, mm-hmm, Coldplay, like, you know, the stuff that's like not cool. It's like, but then when you really strip it back and like, if you, you know, did what we did with that game where you know nothing about the artist, if you just listened to that music, you'd be like, oh, this is good musically.
Solid. Yeah.
But
yeah,
there's so many like negative connotations around like the success that, yeah, they've reached.
That have
and
nothing
stuff
to do with the music.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's like the biggest thing for me is that like in my music and in our music and stuff, like I just want it to be good. Like I don't care if it's like cool. I don't care if it has like that allure to it. I'm not like the marketing expert that's going to add the like mystery to it and stuff. Sometimes, mm-hmm, it's just overtly there. It's like, maybe your influences are pretty overtly there. And like, what's wrong with that? Like, you're,
yeah,
just trying to make the best music you can and you're not trying to be like above, you know, other artists and stuff. I think the other thing that inspired me too is like just listening to your guys' podcast. I know someone did like Avril Lavigne, like Let Go. People have done like Phoenix, which is like a pop, mm-hmm, record. It's like, I think there's almost this resurgence of like, it's cool to just like be honest about what,
yeah,
you were actually
like
listening to.
Like, yeah,
it's very fun to be like, oh, I was listening to like Brian Eno ambient music. It's like, no man, you were just listening to U2 and like he worked,
right,
on that. But like, and that's cool. Those things need each other, like a little,
yeah,
bit of like, and I think that's one of the things that like our group tries to do is like, you know, we've got someone like Jack playing pedal steel that like can make all of this like crazy cool atmospheric stuff that like, you know, I would never listen to 45 minutes of just like droney pedal like stuff on the,
yeah,
pedal steel,
but
like
would,
some of the bridges, yeah, but like some of the, but he can make a boring ass pop song that I've written that like only has, you know, doesn't even have a bridge, and he can like come in and like reimagine that and like add that element to it. Mm-hmm. And that's very like true to the music that I grew up in. Like those things need each other, like a corny, mm-hmm. like overly pop record that has all the like conventional hooks, but it like needs that something. And I feel like this album is a little like that, or U2 is a little like that. And that's kind of what I grew up on personally. So I think that's always going to be subliminally in what I write.
Totally. Totally. And I feel like the show, like our show in particular, I feel like I equally appreciate for every like underscores or drug church or like very
like niche
kind of niche thing that we talk about, which I'm thankful for and love being able to now discover and know about. I'm also thankful for the Avril Lavigne's and the Phoenixes and the Walk the Moons.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I am glad that we are killing the part of ourselves that cringes.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah. It's cool to like popular things. Yeah.
It is cool. Yeah. They're popular sometimes that's popular.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think it's cool to be like, to kind of know why it might be popular, to know sort of why people might flock to it. Because I feel like there is also this connotation of like, oh, you fucking sheeple, you like Coldplay, and I think you just like it because Spotify like pushed it to you. But if you're like, no, like I vibe with this and this and this, like it's actually pretty good. Totally. I think that's very special. And then it's like, well, you know, it's not popularity, you know, in a baseless way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think it earned a billion listens, like some of these songs. Like it's. Yeah.
I think also what's helping too is we look back probably on, you know, we were talking about AI a little bit in and out of our breaks. Some of it will probably be in this and some won't. But like I think that's the thing too is like it's pop music, but it's music that just got popular or was marketed well, or, you know, maybe people really were drawn to the album cover, what have you. But it's not like manufactured like blueprint kind of music. Yeah, maybe they were influenced by another band that was successful. But I think you could say, you know, even if it does sound a lot like Radiohead, Radiohead was definitely not like, oh, we should name a song something that would show up in the algorithm. I mean, you know, first of all, like the business has changed and stuff. But even just back then, I think like less artists were concerned with that kind of stuff. Like, oh, I should write a song about this because it might show up in like a TikTok algorithm or something. You know, people like joke about that kind of stuff. But I think it's made it easier to even appreciate what pop music was just like 20 years ago, because now pop music is even more formulaic than it used to be. It was like, remember a time where we used to look back and be like, this is so formulaic and so unoriginal, but at least it was actual people playing the instruments and it wasn't like they, you know, typed in a chord progression into, you know, an AI tool or something like that and, you know, came back with a song. Like it's, so I think that's given it a lens to like come back and appreciate it differently too.
Definitely.
Yeah, as a podcast that talks about albums in their entirety, I couldn't imagine like crafting music so like 6 seconds of it is catchy enough to make it on the
crazy.
Yeah, I think about that in some of my songs, like, you know, the title track on our album, like, or, you know, I guess that's back when it was, maybe we should provide that context too, like the what we have on Spotify and like more stuff's coming. We're planning to record some stuff. Like if you've seen us live, definitely come out and check it out, because you're missing like an entire half of the music that Quinn has written kind of since we've sort of merged and it's become more of a band than a solo project. But when I was making the solo project stuff that's currently on Spotify, some of which we still do and some that we don't, the song like Square Dancing has like kind of a long just like keyboard intro, and I listen to it sometimes. I'm like, man, what if someone turned this on and was like, oh, is this just going to be like, you know, like what we were doing in that segment, like, oh, this is just going to be someone playing like Wurlitzer and Garage Band and like no vocals come in, nothing else comes in. And like I do sometimes like regret like, oh, maybe I should have made that intro a little shorter, like did something to more hint that more was coming. And so yeah, it is weird that it gets you thinking that way, because back when you were a kid and you were just making music for fun and stuff, you never had those
thoughts. You never thought about the algorithm or like the, you know. Yeah, I think Rick Rubin talks a lot about how like you should not ever think about the music you make as the like as the
consumer.
That's
good to hear, because I sometimes wonder
you could go crazy.
Oh, totally.
You should just
Yeah, he says something like you should. The consumer is last.
Yeah. So yeah, don't panic too much about that. Here's track number one. Man, this instantly sounds like Coldplay. You hear like a second of it, and like, oh, I'm listening to Coldplay.
Yes.
And it's great. This is one of the best songs on here, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I know Coldplay like from the radio mostly growing up. Same. And there's something kind of special about being this millennial age we are and like experiencing the radio that like younger people, I don't think, experience the same way. So like this instantly makes me think of like being in a car ride
It's always a car ride.
Like, yeah, instantly, actually, yep. Instantly, like, in a car ride to a grocery store or to church. Or,
I'm
like,
in a car ride
school.
To church. Yeah. Yes. Or, like, my mom is putting it on while she makes me, like, dust surfaces. She would, like, put on the radio for, like, a cleaning day.
For sure.
Yeah.
Is that a good memory or, like, a kind
it's
of
it's a good memory. It's okay. a good memory. Because it's usually, if it was, like, a deep cleaning day, there was going to be, like, a party or something happening soon. Nice. Perhaps a holiday get-together.
All my cleaning memories are just deeply traumatic.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You should have listened to more Coldplay.
Yeah. Mine are pretty chill. Yeah.
Can we play a little of it, or do I still have Ox? I still
have. You have, yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, I love this. Take the Zach, take the wheel.
Ooh.
Play some Coldplay for us.
Bones sinking like stone. You're just like, oh, that's Coldplay. It's like a nice acoustic guitar and like. Homes, places we've grown, all of us are done for. And we live in a beautiful world. Like, what a good can opener.
Yeah.
Like a 9.7 out of 10 can opener.
Can opener.
Have you heard that? You've heard.
I've never heard that term.
Never heard that phrase.
You've said it on air many times.
And it's not because of the alcohol. It's because it's just we record like a lot of so things much on air. Goddamn content. After a recording session, genuinely, I probably black out like 80% of what we've said into the mics.
Oh, just repress good. It.
Yeah.
Keep it down. Yeah,
it's like in there, but. Yeah.
There's like playlists of like can openers, like good first tracks on an album.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I attribute so much of the like quintessential, like, quote unquote Coldplay sound to Chris Martin's vocals.
Yes.
Specifically.
Absolutely.
Like, it's just so distinct. So when you hear him, you're like, oh, I know exactly where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see a lot of similarities to the, what's the Kid A band?
Oh. Well, Radiohead.
Thank you. Can you take all that? A lot of similarities.
Yeah, see, this is exactly the type of credibility that will get your podcast canceled. Like, you don't know Radiohead. See, like, we're all pretending like we like really listen to Radiohead constantly. But when's the last time anyone listened to all of Kid A? Like, there's a song that's like all harp. It's like that's tight, but like no one's listening to that. Like, while they're on the bus, like going to work, it's like no one's like, let me put on that all harp track by Radiohead. It's like, yeah, like you're listening to it, but it's more like watching a movie. Like, so like as you get older, I think you come back to some of this kind of music where it's like, this is like commuting music or like looking at raindrops roll down the window in the car kind of music. It's like there's, you know, those types of albums where it's like, you know, you get a little high or you have a beer and you like, you put it on and you sit on your couch and you listen, like that's what you're doing. It's like the main thing. But I think as you get a little older, it's like that kind of stuff becomes harder to like absorb.
Make time for.
Yeah.
It is hard to just like enjoy a record. Like when you're a kid, you could do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, I gotta just keep scrolling my thumb on this TikTok
app. My attention span is
it's true.
It's like lost. You gotta press the button every 186 minutes.
For like a sugar cube or like apes in a fucking psych experiment.
I just recently started reading again for the first time in such a long time.
Same. Yeah.
Like, I think in the past 3 years, I've read maybe 2 books, you know, like, which before that it was like, I identify it as a reader, you know, and I think it's because it's just so, it's hard to sit down and do one thing anymore.
Yeah.
Including listening to an album.
Do you think it helps though? Like getting back into reading books has helped your attention span? Cause I think it's helped mine.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of reading, have you read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Fuck no.
That's a good one. Have you guys read it?
No.
I haven't, but it sounds interesting.
Do you like sci-fi?
I've watched Spaceballs, but I've never seen
it. It's pretty close to Spaceballs. No. Oh, actually, kind of. It's like humorous, satirical sci-fi. But do you guys know that the track, Don't Panic, is in reference to a quote from...
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, no. It's just the name of one of the books, because there's like 6 of them.
Don't Panic is the name
of
one? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh. Cool.
Or there is a quote somewhere, too. I can't find it right now.
Awesome. Great.
So that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
I love sci-fi.
Yeah.
They're really good books if you haven't read them.
I should.
I should check them out, honestly. That's probably something I'd be more likely to get into. I've always struggled to like focus on a book. Uh-huh. And the, like, social media era scrolling thing has definitely made it worse. But I've always, like, struggled to focus. And the thing with reading that I've always found really interesting is, like, you start getting this description, but it unfolds so slowly that, yeah, like, you get a different description in your brain, which I think is interesting. It's like, mm-hmm, someone was describing this room, and then you find out, like, 12 pages in that it has plants, and you're like, oh, I didn't think it had any plants.
Yeah.
So that's such an interesting, your image, yeah, interesting, like, slow burn to it that I've always struggled with and stuff. But yeah, and again, not to just feel like we're on here like plugging Jeff Tweedy and Wilco, but he writes a really,
no,
like,
we are.
His autobiography is really like validating in that. And I've even applied this on reading his whole book, cause I haven't made it all the way through yet. I've been reading it in, you know, pretty small pieces. But he kind of says, like, you know, reading is like really inspiring, but it's like, it's not always about like finishing books. It's like finding that like one quote in it or something, uh-huh, and getting kind of the inspiration you need and stuff. And then like bop into a different one. And maybe you have three going on at once and, yeah, you're like not finishing them all and, yep, stuff. And that's something I more relate to. Similar, uh-huh, with albums is like, I don't always make it through the whole album, but like I stumble on that one track that really gets me. And then I just want to hear that 100 times, or, mm-hmm, yeah. And then, you know, I think it would pair well with this totally different artist or this other song by this artist that's not on that album or something, and then just kind of like cutting things up that way.
Yeah, it is totally cool to kind of build up your internal like repertoire, your internal, like, not to be annoying, but like Pinterest mood board of art I like, you know?
Yeah.
And like playlist form, you mean?
Yeah. It's like you have this little catalog in your brain of this quote from this book, and also like this painting you saw at the Art Institute, and this couple of songs, and you're like, I vibe with all of this.
Mm, yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Oh God, when you think about art, it really almost like gives you a little shiver.
Oh.
Track number two. Burr. Track number two is cold called play. Shiver, and it, we
did
are,
they get a shiver because their play is cold?
Girl, they might have. They might have. This one is also, I feel like this whole album is like so chill.
Yes.
And the song gets a little bit waltzy, which I like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of their stuff does. A lot of it's in like 6/8, which, yeah, I like, honestly is a big influence on me. Like, mm, whether it's like Motown or doo-wop, like kind of like soul music that uses that, or just like, you know, anything like, you know, even the song like Lover by Taylor Swift, like going back to that like old school, like tried and true, like waltz.
Yeah.
Just adds an immediate like romance to, mm-hmm, something that I think totally is really cool. Yeah.
6/8 is the superior.
It's, yeah, honestly great. I'm not a big like odd time signatures person. Quinn, I know you're a big like math rock guy, and I like it in doses and stuff, but, mm-hmm, like 6/8's the one outside of like 4/4 that I like use fairly frequently and
very effective
songs. Yeah.
Yeah,
I heard 3/4, which is kind of 6/8, is like the time signature of the heartbeat, which, oh, is interesting. So it's like doop 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 doop,
like one two three one two three one two three. Yeah, 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 yeah. Uh-huh.
Maybe that's why we love it so much.
Huh. Yeah.
That makes sense. I've never heard that, but that's really cool.
That's kind of neat. I'm like feeling my heartbeat right now, and I can't tell you.
Just the dead same air thing for like 45 minutes. Reduce your fractions.
But this is another example of like the crazy head voice that he does.
Yeah,
and he,
yeah,
usually brings it in during the chorus and goes, yeah, back down during the verse, which like maybe is like a pretty common thing to do. Like we were talking about how like it's a pop song, but like he does it so well. I don't, mm-hmm, care if it's a popular thing to do.
Yes, speak your truth. Did you want me to change? Well, I changed for good. And I want you to know that you'll always get your way. I wanted to say, don't you shiver?
Like, fuck, that makes you feel something, right?
Yeah. Yum.
Incredible, honestly. Like, yeah,
it's a great
vocals
song.
Vocals are incredible.
Yeah.
And I love the, like, you know, obviously, as one might guess listening to this, like, since we chose Coldplay as our album, like, I'm not a big, like, distortion person, but I love, like, a guitar, like, teetering on the edge of distortion, but it's, mm, not, like, abrasive on your ears. It's just a little like biting, like sort of like, honestly, not to do too many tie-ins, but sort of like a beard. Perfect. Like it has like sort of a bite on it, but like it's not overtly like, you know, it's an aftertaste, I guess, kind of more.
It's like the little something of guitar tone.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, for sure. That's
that's like gorgeous.
That's great. Yeah. Really,
come on.
No, it's there. Hold on.
I think I know what you're talking about. Go for it.
Really sparks a fire in you, songwriting wise, right? Really. Yeah.
That's track number four. Track number three is called Spies.
Fuck. No, I don't know what the title I was going for.
you really wanted to hear the bridge in Spies, right? Yeah. Which is funny because I can't picture that. So I'd love to hear that.
It's like the soaring, beautiful bridge.
Delicious.
Good bridges are good.
Yeah. I don't know, like I think one sort of constant like critique of Coldplay and this album is that it's like maybe safe or something, or like because it's they're getting their inspiration from Radiohead and they're making love songs and stuff like that, but like you were saying, like it's just powerful even if it's been done when like Chris Martin just has such an incredible voice. His falsetto is really good. And the backup vocals in that thing were really sweet. Mm-hmm. That was an intense one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really it's funny that like relative, because we know radio, because I think that's sometimes what happens. You get this band that's like not safe. And then artists that sound like that band are then playing it safe. But like there's nothing safe about like singing a falsetto. Like there's nothing more embarrassing than like trying to hit a note that high and your voice cracking. So I think it's like one of the least safe things you could do. Like it's safe in that like when you can pull it off, everybody loves it and they feel something because you should. It's like somebody, you know, it's like, I don't know, I guess it would be like putting like, you know, the perfect like first kiss scene in a movie. It's like, oh, it's safe. Every scene does it. But it's like, it resonates with us though. And like that part's not safe. And it's hard to like get there. Like it's hard to get up there and sing like that. So of course it's safe because like when you see something excellent, you know, it's, you're going to resonate with it. So it's, some people will look at that as like, oh, that's cheap in a way that like he knows when he goes to that register, it's going to send that little, you know, shiver, not to do too much of a callback, like on your skin. But like it does because it's challenging to do and it's something that resonates with us. Like that's somebody singing as high as they can possibly sing. Mm-hmm. And that's challenging and risky. And like even though other artists might do that too, like that's much more risky than like a lot of other vocals, you know, where you're just kind of playing it in your own like normal register. That's really someone stepping out of their comfort zone, which I like.
I think that's really interesting to point out because there is totally sometimes that reception of like, well, we've seen a really good kiss scene in a movie, so like you doing a really good kiss scene is playing it safe. But also, like, how many times have we watched a movie where the first kiss is, like,
no chemistry there.
There's no chemistry. And, like, someone's dentures fall out and someone else poops their pants. And it's, like, not quite it. So I think that's a really good point. Is, like, doing the good thing, like, maybe the textbook good thing really well is a challenge in and of itself to kind of measure up, I guess.
Yeah. And I think it's something that, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Quinn, but like we try to get, or at least my instinct has been like a falsetto is scary. Like I started out making this music, like doing it by myself in my bedroom, super embarrassed, kind of developed this like really whispery style. Like, you know, when I was living at home, didn't want my parents to hear me. When I was living with roommates, didn't want them to hear me. But there's something awesome about like playing in this group with all of you. Like Quinn has a like fantastic falsetto. He has this song called Thaw that we'll probably record very soon where like he really gets up there and it like immediately like resonated with me like the day I came over and he was showing me it. And then I kind of tell this story sometimes too, like at shows when I'm meeting, you know, kind of friends of my bandmates that I'm still getting to know, but like Wynn's voice is incredible. Like the heights that Wynn can get to, like their voice is so beautiful that like, and it was so funny, like Wynn just kind of like shyly, like, you know, kind of stumbled into being like, oh, I can like sing a little too. And it's almost like that scene in like School of Rock where like you find out that one woman has the voice of like Aretha Franklin. She, you know, they were just kind of like, oh yeah, I can sing a little too. Maybe I can do some like harmonies and stuff. And then like now it like makes the group. Like I think Wynn's probably more valuable to the band than me. Like, they can sing exactly how I wish I could sing. And it just like, it's like having an army of like vulnerable people behind you. Like, so it's so empowering.
Wynn came into the group because they walked into the practice space when Jack and Austin and I were playing. And Jack went, Wynn, you should be the bassist of this. And then Wynn said, okay.
Yeah.
It was just team that player. Like,
yeah. Just the last person to join, but has become like really integral.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And like,
they're an amazing musician. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Right. Like, Wynn can play every instrument. And they just do everything the way that I like wish I could do it. Like I can't play bass, so I did a lot of the like keyboard part. Like I did bass like on keyboard for like the EP that I've got on Spotify, and like my bass like influences seem to be really similar. Like Wynn does an awesome job of like always playing like to the vocal, which I've always loved in music. Like, you know, I grew up playing drums. I always loved like Keith Moon's drumming and like how he just drums to the vocals. Like if the vocal does a thing, he does a fill that matches it. Or I love like Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, like the bass player on that, like James Jamerson, just the bass is all over the place. And it's like trailing the vocal. But then what you kind of learn is like that gives you the confidence to sing that falsetto because you have that lower register, like it's adding some oomph to it. Yeah. So that I, you know, can't imagine a time like before having Wynn in the group. It's like it just accentuates like exactly what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it makes me so much more confident in something that I'm not confident in.
Yeah. Nice. Speaking of great bass players, how do you guys feel about Coldplay's bass player?
I really love Coldplay's bass player.
Do you know his name? It's so good. This is a
Guy Berryman.
This guy was born to be a bass
That's
player.
That's such Guy a bass player Berryman. Name. Yeah,
the best prank phone call name.
Like that man was born with a bass guitar in his hand.
Yeah.
Just like it almost looks like just you're filling in any generic bass player. It's like just guy that'll do it. And it's like no, that's his actual name.
We bass player have bass name player. Generator.
Yeah, when you said Guy Berryman, I thought you were kidding, but that's
actually... No, that's actually it.
Yeah, on the walk here, I was trying to remember... It's funny because you do think of Coldplay as, like, just the Chris Martin show, but then if you watch, like, an interview, he's extremely humble, and I think he does a great job, and they do a great job of going, like, he's kind of the guy, we follow him, he's very much our leader, but it's not in, like, a narcissistic way. Like, I think, you know, you mentioned, like, U2, like, that music kind of similarly is, like, this big stadium, like... grandiose music and stuff, and I think, you know, a lot of people rightfully maybe will like pick on Bono and stuff for being this very like almost caricature of a front man at times, but like Chris Martin's not really that. He's kind of just a more shy like kind of guy, and he credits his bandmates like all the time, and they add some like incredible like backing vocals and like texture to the music. Like there's, you know, it's one of the few bands where I can still kind of like name everybody in it. And the average person would be like, oh, you know, like those guys don't really matter. They could fill in any old guy. And it's like,
I don't think so.
When you're young, sometimes you think like, oh, like that drummer's not playing like incredible chops. Like they're not good. It's like, well, yeah. Like, but Will sings incredible backing vocals while he's playing that. And that's what suits the music. Like, he doesn't need to be like playing this like, you know, insane, complicated fill and stuff. Like, so I think as I've gotten older, I've gotten to even appreciate that too, that like, you know, these guys are probably a lot better than what they're showing too. They're just really serving the music. And I tried to do that.
So let's listen to Guy Berryman a little bit on track number 4, Sparks. Just this intro, like just
so great. Beautiful song. Best song on here, I think. Yeah.
Thank you.
Like, sorry, guitar players, but that acoustic line is nothing without that bass line underneath it.
It's true. It's true. That bass line is fantastic.
It pulls you into it so hard.
It's hypnotic, yeah. And, like, I don't know. I guess just everything about that track is the one I come back to. Like, we sat down kind of saying, like, we kind of went through albums that we both listened to. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff we really like that didn't feel that on the nose for the actual type of music that we're making, like, with Big Weather. But, like, for this, I guess I'm even as I'm like here, maybe it's just the Lagunitas Island beats talking, but like I swear I haven't really like done my due diligence like prepping for this, but you forget how much like subliminally is there. Mm-hmm. Like even just the like piano sounds and like the really reverby piano, mm-hmm. like you mentioned you were listening to like that track Ashland, like that, even that I like kind of wanted to sound like, I guess I didn't even know it at the time, but wanted it to sort of sound like the piano on this track and like throughout this album. Like there's just a lot of subliminal like instinctive stuff from this album that I think I've picked up even when I'm not going for that, even when I'm doing like a country thing or like a bedroom pop thing, like there's the Coldplay stuff will always kind of like come out. I think it's just one of your like wheelhouse natural things that becomes part of you, which maybe you'd say like for you, Quinn, is like the Strokes or something like that. Or like there's certain, or even like you wrote a song the other day that felt like very Radiohead, and like I was like, that chord progression's like something I would never come up with, but it sounds so familiar. And you were like, because I think it's like maybe like a Radiohead type of an influence or something. Like it's cool when you are even going for a totally different sound, but you stumble into like kind of like your sort of like belief system of like go to, you know, I guess tropes wouldn't be the right word, right. But just kind of like
the things that have like kind of you've absorbed and you like you can't get them out of you without even knowing.
Yeah.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How'd you guys feel about the production like on this song, but like in the album in general too?
I love it. I think it's awesome. It sounds so good.
Yeah. It's very well done.
It's very well done.
I think Ken Nelson produced all but one song on this record.
Which one do you know?
Yes, I do. I'll tell you when we get to it.
Okay.
Cool. and it's just like, it's just phenomenal, like how well everything fits and sits on top of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so clear. There's like, I don't know how it was done, but there's just like this like kind of sparkle and shimmer to everything. Mm. Like,
yeah.
The drums are just so like, I don't know, clear and punchy, but not like abrasive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything there's is like crisp, yeah. Like you sort of said, Sarah.
To it.
Yeah, it's a fall kind of
softness to it, yeah. But not like blurry. Like soft, like a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's very yellow.
There's like a coarseness to it, but like not rough. Like it's like just subtly like
it's coarse like cookie dough.
I could see that.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Versus like an exfoliating salt scrub.
I think it's also a lesson too, and just like I'm, you know, the album I have on Spotify, like we're discussing now that we want to get, you know, an actual like, you know, producer to record us and not do it on a laptop and stuff. But I think one of the like biggest lessons I've learned in the era that I'm hopefully now leaving behind is of, you know, we've kind of got more of a group going here and some songs that I haven't written and it's becoming more of a band is that just like one of the biggest things I've learned, like the best like workarounds, and when you listen to like a really old like 70s track and you're like, how does this sound so good, but they don't have the technology we have? Some of it's just picking instruments that are in a like different register. So it occurs naturally. It's like naturally EQ'd. Like an acoustic guitar sits in a totally different spot than a bass does. And that's why the bass can come out so much in that song. Or you know, tuning the drums like up high on like a jazz record or something, it's like that's what makes the drums cut through if you don't have enough mics. Like tuning your toms really high will help them pick it up. So like there's a lot of just like back to basics kind of sound of this where like it is produced really well and it's made in a studio and it does sound amazing, but some of it is like credit like the band too, that it's like they're not stepping on each other's like frequencies and they know where to be and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just kind of sounds like how it would sound.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes sense.
It just sounds like a band like at their best day of playing a track, which I think is something I always try to go for.
Which is a cool thing. We're talking about an album that came out in 2000, so it was presumably recorded in 99, right?
Yeah.
It's like sounds so 90s looking back at it now, but like when I was a kid listening to this song, did not sound like the 90s. I don't know. Do you guys feel that way?
Sounded like the
2000s. Yeah.
It sounds like the 2000s for sure. Even today, listening to Yellow, like,
I think there's a nostalgia for that era though, where like you mentioned the radio. I think that's a more than so than reviewing like a whole record. Like I grew up, you know, here in like the near Chicago suburbs, like Oak Park. So we're definitely in range. Mm-hmm. Actually the old like XRT studio used to be down the street from my high school back in the '70s. My dad would tell me, and we grew up listening to that radio station. And there's something about just like getting kind of a smattering of like different tracks and stuff like that. That's kind of been, you know, sort of formative to where, you know, my kind of taste in music comes from. But I think this is an example of like one of those albums where like, do you know that type of song where you started hearing it on the radio as a kid and you're like, that's got to be like from my parents' generation or something. Mm. I can't remember a song time where I didn't hear that song. And then you look at like kind of the release date of it and you're like, that's sort of like the age where I would have begun to form memories.
Yeah.
There was a period where I existed and this song didn't, but I don't have any recollection of that period. So this album is sort of like that, where it's like, you probably, I don't know, I'm not a child psychologist or something, but like you probably only start having memories when you're what, like 4 or 5 years old. And if this album comes out, I think I was 7 when it came out. So it's like, it is one of the like first things you start, like you can't really remember a time where Yellow wasn't on the radio because
because
it's one of your first memories.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Yeah. All right, let's hear the intro bit, because I just, you got it. We can't not hear it.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to step on this moment. I just really have to pee.
Yeah. Me too. Me too. Me too.
Camera's flush in the middle of Yellow. Do it, you coward.
We're just keeping the toilet flush in there. We're not gonna. We're just gonna listen to the intro. We just took a potty break, but you, the listener, just heard a toilet flush and now you're back. Fuck, this is so good. We'll play more, but like, that doesn't sound like 90s rock to you guys.
Is this the one that's not produced by...
No.
What's his face?
This is still the same producer,
Oh, is there one track that's not?
There's one track, yeah.
I'm trying to figure it out.
It does.
I've got a theory that, like, the 90s actually lasted to, like, 2008 when the iPhone was invented.
Yeah.
Well, like, it was all 90s until then, and then it was something else.
At the time, like, I mean, we all lived during it. Like, no one called it, like, a different thing. And like no one, I guess you could say the 2000s and 10s, like no one really was like, we're in the 10s now. Like,
yeah.
Right, I think the like the decade thing was really nice in the 80s and 90s. But I remember even my parents would tell me, like, and we said we wouldn't get on tangents, but this will be quick. that like a lot of what did that is like, you know, like companies would make like best of the 80s, best of the 90s. Even that happened later. Like they were like, we didn't talk about it as much like that. There's a lot of people that would say like, you know, 80s music started in like 78 or, you know, if that's you look back on it.
It takes a little bit
definitely,
for it to settle. Yeah.
In 2000, it's not like you flip a switch and it's like, this is the next new thing.
Yeah.
Which is the other like thing that makes me sympathize with this album is like, it is going to sound like a 90s band because there are no 2000s bands yet. It's 2000.
Right.
How could there be any 2000s
There's
bands?
No blueprint.
There's no, this was made in the 90s. Like,
so,
late 90s.
So to tie it into the 90s, do you guys know why this song is called Yellow? And it's the most 90s reason you can think of?
I do. Yeah. So I heard that they wrote this song. This was one of those like, it's always great to hear like when like the lead single is like a song they wrote while they were doing all the other songs. Cause then you're like, what are you guys even here for? Like you're missing your single. But I think they wrote this one like in the studio or around the time they were recording the other tracks and they needed a title. And he like saw the Yellow Pages and like named it after that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a phrase he had look at the stars, look how they shine for you. He had some of that. But he didn't have the last line and he had just happened to look at the Yellow Pages. And so he quotes, he says here, in an alternate universe, I could have looked at Playboy. There's a line there. Could have been Playboy.
Yeah, that would have been funny.
So the fact that I haven't seen a Yellow Pages in 15 years.
That would have been a much worse song if you picked up a Playboy magazine, I think.
For sure.
I agree.
Really beautiful song. Anything that particularly stands out to you guys?
I guess, like, this one is obviously the most memorable and you hear it on the radio and stuff, but like, the big thing for me is this is another example of that like fringing on like distortion but not kind of vibe. Like it's really rocking and it's kind of straining like sort of guitar sound, but it's not like overtly distortion. And I still really like that sound. I also really love the super open like snare sound.
Yeah.
I've really love like Soak Up the Sun by Sheryl Crow. Yes! And it's got that like big like open snare crack. Also very indicative of like the early 2000s, late 90s kind of sound. So I agree. Yeah, yeah, very 90s, early 2000s sound.
Yeah, I think the writing on it's really great. You said this was written in the studio.
It's been a while since I've read about it, but I heard that like he wrote this song, like they were taking breaks at the studio and like going out at night and looking at the stars and like, I don't know if they smoke but like going out for like kind of effectively what would be like a smoke break just to get a break from being in the studio. Mm-hmm. And he wrote this song sort of about like that moment. And I think that's sort of cool too, that there's, I don't know what it's really about, or I imagine it's a lot of like ad lib stuff because they made it last minute, but I think it's more about a feeling that you can't pin down, which is maybe this whole album in general, but it sort of has that vibe of like, you know, maybe it would be corny to write about like the beauty or excitement of like recording your debut album, but I imagine that's inspiring. It feels dumb to like write a song about writing music, but it is really odd. Like, imagine how awesome that must have been to be like in the studio working on these other tracks and then like, you know, taking a moment to just be like, this is beautiful. How lucky am I that I get to do this?
Like, yeah. It definitely feels like that.
It does feel like lyrically a lot of Coldplay stuff is like kind of like simultaneously like several steps removed. Like a lot of people could listen to this music and be like, I totally get that feeling. But then there's also this sort of hidden undercurrent of like, but it's about me. I don't know. I when I think of like a Coldplay chorus, it's very like, the world is beautiful and everything is so special and just look at the way it is. And like, that's kind of the lyrical content of it. It's very like broad.
I have a funny story of my friend Dylan. He was like in high school or college, I forget. He was like hitting on a girl and like he's like, they're like listening to their iPods together. He's like, what should I put on? Coldplay.
Nice.
And like, Coldplay, like this is like the song to like put on when you're with a girl because you're both gonna experience some feeling. Some it's vague very, joyous like, feeling.
Cinematic almost. Yeah, sure. Sorry, Moose is climbing on the
baby
girl.
Don't pause.
Baby girl.
Oh. Do we all have reverb and distortion now? I do feel louder. Oh, there we
go. Yeah, she turned you up.
The cat is mixing our
she decided to be a producer for a moment, but everything is back where it was.
But yeah, no, I think it's earned its 1.9 billion streams. Sheesh. Like, I think
that's so many.
That's insane.
That's $8 in Spotify revenue. Congratulations, Coldplay.
You're rich. That's all you need to live that lifestyle?
Yeah. Awesome. Spotify's going to give you $8 for that.
That's sick.
You can get like a YouPick 2 at Panera. Wow. Shall we move on to track number 6, Trouble?
Yeah.
This one was like giving me kind of spooky energy. I sort of liked the kinda lyrical haunting metaphor of like, I am in a sticky situation and I'm going to sing about it as though I am trapped in a spider's web.
Like the original title, did you know?
Was it really?
Yeah.
Love that.
But they were like, Trouble's more marketable. No, that's a joke.
Well, because like singing about spiders does not feel very Coldplay to me, and I haven't like done a deep dive into their discography like that. Like, so seeing this, I was like, whoa,
yeah,
ooh.
Yeah. The guitar player is like the king of like the soft whammy touching, like just like the barelyest bend. Yeah, it's like, oh, it just makes the whole track. Oh, no, so Coldplay.
Spiderweb, and it's me in the middle. So I twist and turn, but here am I in my little bubble.
I think I'm going to start a character on the podcast called Bass Berryman.
Oh. Characters welcome.
What's he like?
He's just a really good bass player, like Guy Berryman is. That's his one attribute.
That sounds good. I'm into that.
But yeah, so the piano at the beginning is so beautiful. The whole track's just really nice. This was another single, right?
Yeah. I think it was Trouble,
Yellow and what was the other single? Shiver, I think.
I think it was Shiver. Yeah. Or Sparks. It might have been Sparks.
I think it was probably Shiver. Either I remember there was a music video for that.
So. Oh, then it would have been that.
Yeah. I don't know if there was.
I think this is the one that got two music videos, and one of them was like deemed too graphic for U.S. audiences, so they I didn't watch them. I meant to.
That's kind of sick. I don't think I've ever seen that. That's
cool. Wow. Watch this.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
For Coldplay, that's especially crazy. I want
to try to find it.
See. see what was so fucked up about it, that America.
Right. Yeah.
The dark, twisted mind of Coldplay.
Chris Martin, uncovered.
Chris Martin, uncovered. So I love the title track being the interlude also. That is a bold move.
Yeah. What a peculiar choice.
Yeah, speaking of like Ports podcast, like bold move, Hal. Let's see how it plays out.
Right. Yeah, should we just play this?
I think it's fine. Yeah. Like it's a nice little reprieve after like some bangers.
In a haze, a stormy haze, I'll be round, I'll be loving you always, always. Here I am and I take my time, here I am and I wait in line always.
I won't play the whole thing for copyright reasons, but there's only like 8 seconds left. That's,
man,
that's
and that's the make or break.
I forgot about that song so much, dude. But it is beautiful.
Like, yeah. I think interludes like that, it kind of like, because this is one of the first albums that I would like listen to as an album, I think. Mm. And it just hearing something like that made me realize not everything has to be like verse, chorus, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, chorus, or whatever. I think he like got the message of that song across in 46 seconds, and it's such a beautiful, just like sweet. I'm like, I'm here for you kind of message. Yeah. You know?
It's like a stanza of poetry. Like whenever you buy a poetry book and it's just like four lines on a page,
sometimes it's
like,
you need.
I paid $38 for this, but like, it's fine.
Right. That's how you feel after you buy parachutes.
And yeah.
But bullshit it's like, yeah, 40 like, seconds.
That's all. He did less with more. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the beginning of like the era we're in now that I think is so cool. I look forward to hearing people talk about the era we're in now where like people put out like unfinished stuff just because like it might resonate with somebody. And then it does. Like, and that's really cool. Yeah. Like, it's awesome that like that's the type of thing where like if I had 40-second track on my computer, I would be like, that's not done. Like, I wouldn't show that to somebody. But then sometimes you show people that kind of stuff and they love it. Or like my friend Rob has a project called Yowl. It's like Y'OWL.
Oh, yeah.
And he has, it's on SoundCloud and, feel free to check it out. It's kind of like surfy kind of music, but he's like a master of that where it's like, his list is like unfinished stuff that I feel like at times he would only show me. And then I would be like, but you should put that up. Like, that's really good. Like, and he's like, but I'm not going to go back to it. Like, I'm not in that same place anymore. Mm. It's like, so what though? Like, sometimes people like hearing the process sometimes, and I think that's like helpful to have that in an album like this that feels so polished and done.
Yeah, well, that ties in even more to the next track. Do you guys know the history about it?
Tell me.
What's the song?
This is High Speed.
Oh, yeah. Nope.
This is one of the songs that was on their first EP that they kept over into the album.
Okay.
And it's the only song on the album not produced by the main producer.
This is the one.
This is the one.
Let's see if we can hear it.
I think, in my opinion. This is not produced by Ken Nelson. This is produced by another producer, Chris Allison. And it doesn't shine the same way. I think they made the correct decision because they were going to do the whole record with this producer.
Okay. Mm.
And they did change. And I think it would pay off. A little muddy. It doesn't scream Coldplay at me like Coldplay does.
Yeah.
Can anybody fly this thing? Yeah. I mean, this sounds like classic, like, 2000s production. Like, only the vocal matters. Like, kind of what I was, like, defending the other group. This sounds like the Chris Martin show. Like, the vocal's much louder than everything else. A lot of stuff's muddled. Even his acoustic guitar is, like, I would say the whole thing I love about this album is that it sounds like you're playing from the perspective of the person playing said instrument. Like, if you hear the piano, it sounds like you hear it flowing back up to you coming out of the piano, or you hear the little slides of a finger on an acoustic guitar in that, like, interlude. I think they get too carried away on the acoustic guitar. Is it's like, it's too tinny. It's too, like, the sound of the friction of you strumming the strings. But then the rest of it, like, yeah, you brought up a good point, Zach, where it's just, like, it's super muddled and, like, not the star of the show. It doesn't feel like it gets equal.
Which is so shine. Juxtaposed. This next track comes in so bright, beautiful, Coldplay acoustic guitar. Like, We Never Change, we track never number change. 9. Like, this is Coldplay, baby. This is, like, swing me in a hammock, like...
Yeah, under the night sky.
Yeah.
This gave me wrap
me up in ya.
Daughters by John Mayer. Yeah. This gave me the John Mayer, Jack Johnson, like...
Another song in 6-8, too. They use it a lot, yeah.
I wanna live life.
And he's gonna do that same thing where he's all down here and sultry, and then he's gonna, like, head voice you, and you're gonna, like, wanna hug someone. Really great tune. One of my favorites on the back end of the album.
Yeah. This one almost gave me the vibes of, like, if you were, like, watching a musical and a character were to have a song where they were, like, realizing all of their wrongs and all of the wrongs of society. Yeah. Like, it gave me very, like, monologue, like, song.
That's a great point. Like, it feels very second act of, like, something second formulaic act. Where you're like, here's the part where, like, in the rom-com they get in that fight, but you know they're going to get back together.
Right,
but, like,
right.
Here's the part where they're in the fight and they're watching raindrops drip down the window and they miss each other. They're doing all the stuff they used to do together alone or whatever. Like, I love that
energy. I love it.
It's like a rainy day song.
Yes.
The whole album
very
is, and
much.
I love that. But it's also warm. It sounds like being inside on a rainy day, which I think is the thing to.
And
you're
not
walking around
train.
In it. You're safe and sound and warm. But
safe,
like,
in a car on a rainy day.
Yeah, you're in a car. Yeah, definitely.
You're eating soup.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you're just like, everything's not lost. That's what I say sometimes when I'm eating soup on a rainy day. Also, the name of the last track. Or wink.
You guys hit a number in there.
Talking about the 90s, do you guys remember when, like, secret tracks were actually secret and not, like, spelled out in the Spotify description?
Yeah. That's so funny.
You had to, like, actually, like, forget to turn, like, to change the CD for, like, 2 minutes in your CD player to hear a secret track.
I never really experienced that myself.
Really?
Yeah. And it sounds like such a magical feeling.
The joy of finding a secret track in a record.
It sounds dope. Like, there's a lot of tracks that I think are, like, the best track on an album. Like, I'm pretty sure on London Calling, like, Train in Vain is not listed. Like, it's one of those ones similar to Yellow where they, like, did it in the studio, so it was like a last minute ad, so they had already printed, like, the album artwork and it didn't include Train in Vain. So it's like a secret track, but it's, like, catchy as hell. It's like probably the, in my opinion, the best song on there, and arguably, like, the Clash's best song. So I always think those are so funny, because, like, it's funny now, like, I'm glad that I know that, because I would, like, go in a record store if I didn't know that and be like, why the fuck is Train in Vain?
I can't find
it.
Right.
Some weird edition that doesn't have
it. I'm not going to buy this
record.
Then
luckily there's other good tracks on there, so I still might. But, like, it would definitely make me be like, is there, like, a version where Train in Vain is on it? I thought that was on here. Like, I don't want the one that doesn't have that. Like,
where's the deluxe edition?
But this one starts off, to me, like, a little cheesy and a little too soft. But when then the full band comes in, like...
Everything's not lost.
Yeah, I'm just happy again. I'm just like bliss in the Coldplayness.
Can we try to find the transition point? Like,
that's a good idea.
Because it definitely starts very like.
It's at 220 because I wrote it down because I love it so much.
Guy in the back of the bar on the piano. Closing,
which
time.
Is like a fine vibe, I think, for a last track, right? To have it go somewhere, to have like a what does the airplane go off of, the runway?
Yeah. I love that we get a last hurrah.
Yeah. Always be true. Okay, so here we are, still piano.
I wanna live life.
Piano and bass, mind you. Good job, Mr. Berryman.
Another song in 682.
Yeah.
I forgot how much there is of it. I always think of Sparks as the obvious
never
one.
Come down.
I'm sorry, we were looking for the transition.
Yeah, I think we gotta go earlier.
Yeah.
I do want to say one quick thing, though, that, like, I guess I forget. We were talking about things that are, like, subliminally, like, ingrained in us. I know we've talked about this a little bit, but not a lot. But, like, we're both from, like, you know, presumably, like, Irish families. I know my family's probably held on to it more than most that, like, are multiple generations living in America. But, like, I forgot how much, like, Irish folk music was on when I was a kid. And that, like, 6-8 thing is very big and, like, yeah. traditional Irish music. Yeah. And, like, I think it's one of the things that draws me to, like, the British, you know, Irish, like, kind of stuff, like U2 and Coldplay and stuff, is because it, like, that's, like, a traditional music element. Like, that's not something that you hear in a lot of American music sometimes, because it's, like, most 6-8 music comes from either, like, you know, the UK or, like, I think it was another, like, time signature that was big in, like, Africa and stuff like that. So, like, you hear it in a lot of, like, Motown music, and you hear it in a lot of, like, British invasion, like, kind of music, but, like, you don't hear it in a lot of, like, American, like, pop
music. Yeah, Americans music really sometimes. Big about the backbeat, right?
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
The
and
snare
it's like,
on two and the four.
Yeah, and it's we like a, something about a snare on four just kind of leaves it more open, and there's a little more, like, kind of saunters along kind of thing. And I don't know. It's really beautiful. I think that's still something that always gets me, like, when I hear music like that.
Yeah. It gives you, like, all the room to kind of feel something before the next downbeat.
For sure.
So now the album is over. Or
is it?
We already did that, like, reveal earlier.
So we have a hidden track if you forgot to, I don't know, stop your record player or your CD player. Or if you're listening on Spotify and it tells you
hidden track
in the name of the last track, Life is for Living is sort of the little hidden track. From, like, a production standpoint, I do kind of like the way that this song starts sounding a bit fuzzy and a bit, like, almost demo-y, and then kind of expands on itself.
Yeah.
So at first you're like, who's singing to me? And then it's like, oh, this is a Coldplay song.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another full song here. I thought that was cool.
I do want to play a little bit of it just so they can experience. And I think that's kind of like not a cliche, but like an occurrence for the bonus track, is that it is a little, like, less put together.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, sometimes it'll include, like, an element of a demo or, like, just... Yeah, so here he is, just all solo. Kind of like one of the only times we get him just in, like...
Yeah, it even peaks a little bit. It's funny getting older and noticing some of the production of stuff, not stuff you noticed when you were a kid.
Yeah, that acoustic guitar.
Yeah, never it's like, you can tell they finished it in the studio because it's like the beginning. It's like, we did the best we could with the demo. But yeah, that's a good point. I never noticed that.
It's so sweet. But life
is fun. Yeah, it's a really nice send-off.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Too bad Spotify ruined it for us.
See, it's funny because I never thought of it as a secret song. I just, like, and in fact, I was like, there's a secret song. I wonder if the CD I had didn't have that or, like,
oh, but it did.
But it did. It's just like, you just think of it as kind of just, like Quinn was saying, like a less structured song. Like, again, a reminder of, like, it doesn't always have to be verse, chorus, verse, chorus. Sometimes there's a little trail, you know, trailing off, like, kind of thing tacked on the end of something. Like, it's, you know, a kind of reminder of, like, sort of the... No rules, like, do whatever you want to do.
No rules.
Yeah, so it's nice to hear.
Thank you, Coldplay, for teaching us to break the rules.
Yeah, never something you probably never thought you would say, right?
Right.
Yeah. Coldplay inspired your outcast attitudes.
Yeah.
Well, now that we're here at the end, I've got a couple of Rebrewski ideas brewing.
Yeah,
a Rebrewski idea brewing, as it does.
Let's hash it out.
And the award for your mom's favorite band. And your secret favorite band goes to
Coldplay. And the album is Parachute.
Yay! Well done. Folks, well, Coldplay, thank you for releasing that album and letting us talk about it, even though we didn't ask permission. And to the people at home and wherever listening to this episode, thank you for listening. We are Album Rebrews, and we will continue to be Album Rebrews. If you want to check us out on Twitter or Instagram, we are at Album Rebrews. If you want to take a look at our website, it is www.albumrebrews.com. Also, this is getting released on the 13th of November, and I believe nominations are still open for the Chicago Readers 2023 Best of Chicago.
If you're feeling like a hot, sexy beast, you can nominate us for Best Music Podcast for 2023 for Chicago. We'll include a link in the description of this episode where you can write us in. And if enough of you hot, sexy beasts write us in, you'll have the honor of voting for us later this year. We appreciate ya.
Do it. A big thanks to Cameron Bopp, our editor and singer-songwriter extraordinaire. Couldn't do the show without him, so go give him a follow on Twitter at CamBop and go support him. He does a lot of audio work in and around the city, and he's just a great guy. A big thank you to Big Weather for coming on. It was so nice to have you guys on.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, if you are a fan of music, and you are because you listen to our podcast, go listen to Big Weather. You can check out their EP Square Dancing on Spotify, and you can go follow them on Instagram at The Big Weather. I feel like I'm talking in an NPR voice, but it's just because I'm in a hurry.
You are.
Anything you two guys want to say before we get on out of here?
This was the best podcast I've ever been a guest of.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess technically it's the only guest.
Yay. We'll take it.
Yeah, no, this was honestly a blast. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. I'll say one last kind of funny thing, but I really love this movie, like The Commitments. If you've ever seen it, it's like about like an Irish band that does like Motown covers, and the guy who's like the manager of the band always has these moments where he like interviews himself, like while he's like taking a shower, like kind of like shower thoughts kind of thing. And it's fun, like kind of like you surprise yourself, like how much of this stuff you know what to say.
Totally.
You have those like moments where you're like, what would I say if I ever hit it big and people interviewed me? It's like, you know, yeah, it's kind of fun to be on.
Yeah.
The
end
of
that.
So thanks so much for indulging us and letting us talk and stuff. And yeah, I honestly had a blast and looking forward to listening to more of these podcasts and stuff. I think these are awesome. Like,
Thank you
know, feel really genuine and a lot of fun. And yeah, I really love the music that people are picking too.
Thank you so much.
Got some great alum. Well, to send everyone off, the last thing we're going to do is go around the horn in the same order that we introduced ourselves and get very, 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 very close to the microphone. And it's a very quick ASMR style goodbye to the listeners. So I'll go first. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.